Suddenly, the clock struck 8. The first stroke of its hammer on the chime snapped me out of my musings. I shuddered, as if some invisible eye had plunged into my innermost thoughts, and I rushed outside the stateroom. There my eyes fell on the compass. Our heading was still northerly. The log indicated a moderate speed, the pressure gauge a depth of about 60 feet. So circumstances were in favor of the Canadian's plans. I stayed in my stateroom. I dressed warmly, fishing boots, otter cap, coat of fan-muscle fabric lined with sealskin. I was ready. I was waiting. Only the propeller's vibrations disturbed the deep silence reigning on board. I cocked an ear and listened. Would a sudden outburst of voices tell me that Ned Land's escape plans had just been detected? A ghastly uneasiness stole through me. I tried in vain to recover my composure. A few minutes before 9 o'clock, I glued my ear to the captain's door. Not a sound. I left my stateroom and returned to the lounge, which was deserted and plunged in near darkness. I opened the door leading to the library. The same inadequate light, the same solitude. I went to man my post near the door opening into the well of the central companionway. I waited for Ned Land's signal. At this point, the propeller's vibrations slowed down appreciably, then they died out altogether. Why was the Nautilus stopping? Whether this layover would help or hinder Ned Land's schemes, I couldn't have said.